You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Non-fungible tokens, NFTs, have certainly grabbed headlines for some of the more bizarre things that you can buy, like tweets, and also for some of the records that have been broken, with the Christie's artwork record certainly being chief amongst them. But I came across a story recently that is putting this new blockchain-backed technology to really fantastic use in wildlife conservation. Digital representations of animals in cyberspace on generating real-world impact. Thanks to the efforts of Wildcards, we see digital animals on the blockchain have now raised the equivalent of over $30,000 in cryptocurrency donations for Wild Tomorrow Fund's conservation work in South Africa. And I'm joined now by Wendy Hapwood, who's Wild Tomorrow Fund's co-founder and chief operating officer, and Jason Smythe, co-founder of Wildcards, and someone who's working currently at Avo Labs. Welcome to the show, guys. Jason, perhaps you can kick us off. Just tell me a little bit more about Wildcards.
So Wildcards is a fun and engaging platform that continuously raises funds for wildlife conservation, using a lot of the new innovative technologies that you mentioned in the introduction, namely blockchains and non-fungible tokens, NFTs. So I'd love to dive deeper into that.
Yeah, but, please, please do, because I think for so many people, understanding what these non-fungible tokens actually are is key here. And we know really it's a digital representation of things that you can find in the real world, and it's secure. It's almost like giving a stamp that can't be taken away. But I'm sure you've got a better way of describing it. So what is a non-fungible token? How do NFTs work?
So they are unique digital assets, basically. So maybe let's take a step back and sort of look at a little bit of the history. The first blockchain was Bitcoin. I'm sure many of your listeners know what Bitcoin is, at least the name. And that's a fungible asset. So Bitcoin is a coin, but one Bitcoin is basically the same as any other Bitcoin. So we could swap our Bitcoins and no one would really have a problem. Mm. So the non-fungible assets are assets such as artworks. You know, you wouldn't want to swap your Van Gogh with Da Vinci, you know, because they really are unique, and they, that's the definition of non-fungible. So with new innovations, particularly on the Ethereum blockchain, which is a much more expressive platform than Bitcoin is, you can make non-fungible assets, right? And this started out particularly with art. A lot of artists that were creating digitally native art found it really useful to sell that art online, and that non-fungible asset then has a trace of who the previous owners were and kind of the history of that asset. Of course, the artwork itself, the digital art, can be viewed by anyone, downloaded by anyone, but it's really keeping track of the ownership of that digital thing. And I guess it's very abstract for people who might be new to this, because really it is purely digital. So there are non-fungible assets that do link to real life assets, just as, you know, tokens in a casino might link to real money that you can sort of withdraw them. So, you know, there's a lot of flexibility exactly how these non-fungible assets can be used. And then, you know, in Wildcards particularly, we've got art that artists, you know, passionate about wildlife conservation can create, and then those wild cards are sold on the blockchain, and the owners of those artworks have to continually contribute to the organization that artwork is lent to continue to hold the artwork. So it's kind of a subscription to have the right to hold that artwork. To be the owner, you have to continuously contribute to wildlife conservation.
Right, and I understand that from my brief reading up on NFTs that they are backed by smart contracts inside the NFTs that help install this unique and exclusive data that helps differentiate a non-fungible token from other fungible tokens that might be sitting on the blockchain.
Yes, that's it exactly. I don't want to get too technical, but maybe a high-level way to understand it is smart contracts are just any code, and code is just a set of instructions, right? So I'm sure most of your listeners have cooked before, and really a computer just reads code like we would read a recipe. So it's instructions, and a computer does what the instructions say. And that's all with smart contracts is. The difference between code running, let's say, on your cell phone as an app and code running in the blockchain is that code running in the blockchain is running very, very securely on many thousands of computers at the same time. So, you know, you could, for example, make a token, a coin, like a cryptocurrency on your phone, but no one would really trust that, right? Because if your phone, you could cheat your phone, something could happen to your phone, etc. So that code isn't very secure, whereas with smart contracts, on a platform like Ethereum, that code is really secure. There's lots of people validating that code works, and there's a lot of really clever cryptography making that all work. So that's, you know, one of the really cool things about blockchains. You can write custom logic that'll execute exactly how you want it to. I hope that makes
sense. Yeah, no, it does. And it's finding real-world use cases in other areas. I've read up blockchain being able to meld seamlessly in the world of fashion if you want to assure your supply chain, for example. And we're seeing it now being used increasingly with licenses and certifications. So there are real-world use cases from this fantastic technology. And Wendy, to bring you in, you head up the cryptocurrency mm-hmm. strategy for the charity, and a very progressive title in terms of philanthropy. We often don't think of philanthropy being as innovative as that, but I think your former career in international electronic currency sales with Barclays and Citibank clearly meant that making the connection mm-hmm. between conservation and cryptocurrency wasn't a big leap for you. How did you first come to hear of Wildcards, and how did this partnership come into being?
Hi, Michael. Thanks. Yeah, it's quite a fascinating collaboration. You know, conservation and crypto don't often come together, which is why we're so excited about work with Wildcard. I was interested in Bitcoin, you know, with my background and in electronic finance and regular currencies. I was always curious about it, and it was in actually 2018 that we were in touch with a foundation called the BitGive Foundation in the U.S., who were the first to sort of promote philanthropic giving in Bitcoin itself. And there are a lot of people around the world who've made, you know, quite a good gain on their Bitcoin investments, especially if they got in early. So, you know, they have wealth to share, and hopefully some of that wealth can be shared to help our planet. So we set up our first wallets back in June 2018, and that initial project, we raised funds to help purchase equipment for a wildlife crime scene forensics training course we ran for rangers in Southern Africa. And that's how Wildcards heard of us, because they heard that we accepted cryptocurrency as donations and reached out through a mutual friend. So it was sort of personal chain of connection that put us in touch. And our first donation in Ether, so on Ethereum from Wildcards was in November 2019.
So I think it's only fitting that Vitalik, Digital Gorilla, was the very first wildcard to be born on the blockchain, named after Vitalik Buterin, the creator of Ethereum. And to come back to you, Jason, what does this mean now for listeners out there who want to support Wild Tomorrow Fund, who want to go out and potentially purchase one of these digital wildcards? How do they do that?
Sure. So I will be honest and say it's probably a little bit more difficult than I'd like it to be, but we're making it easier every day, and the technology is very new. But the first step is to go onto the website, wildcards.world. You'll be able to select which wildcard you're interested in. You'll be able to browse through them and read the stories and learn about the organization. And then after that, you'll need to take a leap and create your first crypto wallet, an Ethereum wallet, which is hopefully reasonably painless. And after that, there are various options to get your first cryptocurrency. So that would either be via a fiat on-ramp, so you'd be able to buy cryptocurrency with your credit card. They do various KYC and stuff like that, so you might need to give them some personal information to do that. Or there are various exchanges in South Africa. The two that come to mind are Luno and Valor. One of those two you could also use to get some Ether. And from them, really you just click the buy button, choose the price and the amount you want to commit to giving to the organization, and you purchase your first wildcard.
Well, just like that. I mean, it is a process, but I think those people who've already got crypto wallets, and surprisingly, there are a fair number of them out there. We on the show get lots of queries about crypto, and in fact, I've got Marius Reitz and Fazam Hazani of Luno and Valor on the show next Monday talking about the crypto market. So do tune in then if you're listening now to this conversation. You want to know more about cryptos and you may be just starting out. Wendy, just lastly, what have you managed to do so far through this partnership? How much has been raised and what are you putting the money towards?
Sure. Well, it's amazing. In terms of Ethereum, Wildcards on our behalf raised, now if we value it today, around $38,000 or R500,000, which is really significant funding for conservation and very important for us when, especially in COVID, you know, a lot of more of our regular ways of raising philanthropic funds sort of dried up. So what we're using that for is directly for our wildlife corridor project. So we are protecting, saving, restoring land in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, to create a wildlife corridor connecting two large existing wildlife areas back together again. And securing land is quite expensive. It's around $990 an acre, about 15,000 rand. So it's quite a big project to save that land, which was at risk from development into commercial farming, and instead save it for wildlife and restore it. So we're using these crypto donations directly to save and restore habitat for wildlife and fight back against extinction on behalf of our planet's biodiversity.
Yeah, and recently you finished watching the David Attenborough documentary by the same name, Extinction. We all need to be taking this a lot more seriously, and the collaboration between conservation and crypto is just a fantastic example of how we're using modern technology and innovation in order to do that. A great pleasure talking to you, Wendy Hapwood, Wild Tomorrow Fund's co-founder and chief operating officer, and Jason Smythe, co-founder of Wildcards.